This week, we are moving into our final section of foundational faith, and we have talked about a lot of things over the last 10 weeks, all right? We've talked about basic Christianity. We've talked about who Christ is, his claims, his character. We talked about the nature of sin, and we talked about the power of the cross in our lives, all of the things about basic Christianity that we need to know and learn and pour into our lives. But to be a Christian, the final thing we need to do is we need to know how to respond. What is the cost of all of this, right? It's all been great information. It's all been good. But what is the cost? Now, I want to tell you this morning a story about the most expensive gift I ever received. You ready? All right? I had just learned that Bentonville, Arkansas was on the table for a job opportunity for me here at this church. And at that time, I was living in my hometown of Lodi, California. I don't know if you've ever been there. Lots of vineyards, also cows, flatlands. But I loved growing up there. I had never even heard of Bentonville, Arkansas, which means I clearly do not read the labels at Walmart. Okay? Because I think they all say Bentonville, Arkansas, and yet I've never heard of the place. I certainly also had never heard of Northwest Arkansas or any of the surrounding communities, but when I decided to move here, I bumped into someone I hadn't seen in a long time. Isn't God's timing incredible? That's how it works sometimes. And when that man that I bumped into, right after I decided to move here and I got hired, when that man learned that I was moving my family here, to my surprise, he said, you ready? He said, I would like to give you three properties that I own in Bella Vista. What? Has that ever happened to you? Well, I'm not sure you want it to, okay? All right. Now, he had been planning on moving here. In fact, he lived right around the corner from me. I had no idea this guy had properties in Bella Vista. I never heard of it, but he lived right around the corner from me, and he was planning to move here to retire, and all of those plans changed in his life, right? His kids and family were all over in the other places, so he said, no, we're not going to move there. And so he said, I want to give you these three properties here. These are free. And I was pretty stunned at that. And I said, okay. And I accepted the properties. Fantastic. What a gift. What did I find out when I got here? Okay, they were free, but they were going to cost me something, right? There was work to be done. I realized that getting this free gift required agreeing to some terms of ownership, right? And I had to pay all these fees on these properties, which included transfer fees. Oh, and some old back POA dues, right? Oh, and some county fees. And then there was fees going forward. And so suddenly I was loaded with a lot of fees. And there were some taxes I had to pay, right? And when I finally took ownership of these properties, that gift became the most expensive gift I ever received. Those things cost me a few thousand dollars to take ownership. And 10 years ago, if you've been here that long, you couldn't give those properties away, which is why he gave them to me, right? I didn't know what I was doing. And at that time, they were literally not even worth what I had paid to take ownership of them. And so my whole plan to turn some crazy profit, you know, that was down the drain. I mean, that didn't work. I ended up selling those properties a few years later, but had I waited more patiently, y'all know, I could have turned a much better profit, all right? But this is just proof that I'm not the most savvy property owner, nor am I the most patient, but I saved this story for after I got voted in. So thank you. Thank you. Now, we said last week that Jesus offers us a gift, right? And his gift is offered to us free. That is what we are told in Ephesians. Let's read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Okay? Write this down. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For it is by what? Grace, you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the what? Gift. It's the gift of God. Well, I would sure like to receive this gift from God and sit back and watch it add value to my life. I'd like to watch it turn a huge profit in my life, or I'd like to just watch it and enjoy the benefits that I get from it. And yet Jesus also says this as huge crowds of people are following him, hoping to benefit from being around him. All right, I guess we're talking about Mark chapter 8 today. Okay, Mark chapter 8, a little bit after what Kelsey shared this morning, verse 34, let's read this. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel, they will save it. Let me read that last part again. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. Now, suddenly God's free gift sounds expensive, doesn't it? And I'm not sure that that's what everyone thought Jesus was going to say right here. And I'm not sure that that's what they expected when they decided to go and see what Jesus was all about. But as we find out in life, many things come with a cost. And there is a cost to following Jesus. There is a cost to being a Christian. And at the foundation of our faith, we must understand that the gospel demands a response. It demands a price to be paid. Pastor, are you saying you have to do something for salvation? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if you take Jesus seriously, it will cost you something to be his disciple, meaning it may cost you more than you thought it was going to. And so as we talk about how to respond to the gospel, how to respond to Christ over these next 2 weeks. And by the way, Jeff Webb, our elder Jeff Webb, and Pastor Zach are going to carry us through these next 2 weeks. But as we talk about those things, we must also deeply consider what it is that we're saying and what it is we are willing to do before we just say, hey, oh, sure, I'll take that. Sure, I'll take that free gift. That sounds great. Right? All right, turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And go all the way down to verse 57, all right? Jesus did a lot of things. He performed miracles. People saw them. He healed people's diseases. He gave sight to the blind. He raised people from the dead. He brought people back to life. Nothing like Jesus had ever happened in Jerusalem or in Israel or anywhere ever before. And so naturally, a lot of people wanted to follow him because he became a celebrity. Not what he was trying to do. That's what happens with people, right? And so here is the story of three guys who wanted to follow Jesus and how they responded. Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 57, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Now, that's quite a statement, isn't it? That's a big statement. And that's a big promise. This man is clearly excited about the opportunity to follow Jesus. I will follow you wherever you go. Okay, really? Really? Is that what you really mean? You'll do that? I said that once. I ended up in Arkansas. That's what happened. I'm telling you, you don't want to say these things. God might take you any place. I'm telling you. But right here, this is what you call a spontaneous offer to Jesus, okay? Jesus received more spontaneous offers than my Gmail account. No joke. People are saying, "I'll follow you. I'll follow you." What do you think Jesus might say? Sure. Right? Sure, we're going to meet on the hillside at 5 a.m. Let's go. Doesn't say that. What does he say? Verse 58. Jesus replies to this man, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Why would he say such a thing to this man? See, Jesus knew. He knew this man was eager. He knew this man was excited, right? Maybe even touched deeply by something in the message. Maybe coming off an emotional high from having the loaves and fishes. All right? Oh, Kelsey, you told us about the loaves and fishes. That's where I hear my sermon. All right? Maybe coming off some emotional high of that. I mean, that's what happens to a lot of people. People do make decisions based on emotional highs, all right? But Jesus also knew that this man had not, what? He had not counted the cost. He had the wrong expectations of what it meant to follow Jesus. You know, thinking, hey, maybe they would, you know, be staying in nice hotels or whatever they had back then. They have nice hotels, probably something. Palaces. Maybe becoming famous or well-known, you know, making their name great. Or maybe he thought they'd be standing before kings or pursuing some great achievement in life. Whatever the reason, it was not thought through all the way by this man. And Jesus wanted this man to think more carefully about his words. Think carefully about his words. We all need to think carefully about our words and what we say and what we say we're willing to do. When we make promises to one another, boy, you got to be careful about those words. If you truly want to follow Jesus, it's not always comfortable. It's not always what you think in your mind. It's more likely that it won't be what you expected at first. That's how it's been. So you must respond to Jesus sacrificially. Okay? You must respond sacrificially. You can call that point number one. When we come to Jesus, we have to be willing to sacrifice a lot of things, even expectations of what we think it might be like. In verse 59, he said to another man, Jesus said, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, First, let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Wow, I don't know how that sounds, how that comes off the bat there, but that sounds a little insensitive at first, all right? This time, Jesus invites someone to follow him. All right, the last guy invited himself. He didn't think it through all the way. But this time, Jesus invited someone else. I mean, what an honor to be personally invited by Jesus to follow him. Wouldn't you like to think that if you were in that position, you would have done it? This guy didn't do it. Jesus tried to recruit this guy. But how many of you know that not everyone Jesus wants to follow him will actually do it? Now, this is an interesting story because what this man wanted to do was a noble thing. In fact, it seemed he seems like the exact kind of person you would ask to follow you, someone who cared deeply about his own father. And I was reading through one commentary, and the author said, this man was torn between doing what was right and doing what was right. Seems like a noble cause. But again, Jesus' response goes straight to what was in the man's heart and what hindered him from following. Now, people had to be buried within a certain time frame if they died. So if his father was already dead, he wouldn't even have been in the situation, right? He wouldn't even have been talking to Jesus here. He would have been dealing with that. So his father likely wasn't dead, and it likely meant he wanted to wait until after his father had passed. I get that, right? And then he could, you know, maybe from there receive the inheritance and then maybe have some money, maybe then pay for the expenses, right? Kind of get ready for it. But the point of the story is we don't know how long it would have been before this man finally decided to follow Jesus. And this is so important here because it shows us that Jesus is prompting the man to respond now rather than later. You know how it is. You say you're going to do something. 1 year goes by and 2 years go by and 3 years go by. And then it never happens, right? So Jesus is telling us, hey, think about now. How should you respond now? But he knew that this man, the problem, he wasn't ready to follow. He wasn't ready. He was face to face with the Messiah, with the Savior, but he wasn't ready to follow. There's a bunch of reasons in our lives for us to not be ready. Isn't there? There are many delays in our lives. There are plenty of distractions. There's too much to do, and there's way too many things to take care of. Will there ever be that perfect day that comes along for you to make that decision? According to Jesus, that day is today. Make it today. Jesus knew that this man had not prioritized his life in such a way that he was ready to follow him. And so our second point is that our response to Jesus must become a priority. We have to make it our priority. We have to make it sacrificially, and we have to make it our priority. Well, there was another guy. Still another, verse 61. Comes to Jesus and says, I will follow you, Lord. But first, right? Let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Wow, that might have been hard to hear. It doesn't sound like a bad idea to go back and say goodbye to your family. But what is Jesus getting at here? Following Jesus requires commitment and focus. And here, Jesus knew this guy was going to struggle with that commitment. Right? You can't go forward looking backward all the time. All right? This one's like a pastor's worst nightmare. Okay? It's the idea that you can't be so distracted by everything around you, or you won't plow straight. You won't plow the straight rows, and then the harvest will suffer. And there's a lot of distractions, a lot of things to pull you away. But moving forward in Christ is a huge challenge because the distractions in life will inhibit your personal growth and your relationship with Him. And following Jesus has to become your focus. It needs focused time. It needs focused energy. And it involves plowing up old soil. It involves replanting and watering and waiting and persevering. And that stuff takes a lot of time. But the world will try to pull you off the plow. It will do it because it doesn't want a harvest in your life. Doesn't want your success. But God does. God does. He wanted to say goodbye to his family. Are family obligations important? Of course they are. They're absolutely important. But family obligations that prevent you from following God's plan for your life, they're just in the wrong order. That's all. They're just in the wrong order. That's it. Right? This certainly does not mean we don't love our family and we don't help our family and we don't go to our family when they need us. Absolutely we do that. In fact, Paul tells Timothy, when it came to the widows in the church, right? He says, anyone who doesn't provide for their own relatives and especially for their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's pretty strong language there, right? So clearly, family is of the utmost importance, but we just have to get it in the right order. That's what we got to do. God doesn't follow our family follows God. Amen? Amen. All you got to do is ask Abraham. Remember that guy? Leave your family and go to the place I will show you. I mean, who could imagine that this gift from God could cost something like that? That's crazy. That is crazy. We're running low on time. So I'm going to go ahead and invite the worship team to come on up. And as we close today, I want to say this. God cannot be ignored for very long in your life. He cannot be ignored. Let's listen to Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Actually, I think we have that one. Paul writes this. Therefore, God exalted him, that is Jesus, to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This scripture is not about salvation. This scripture is about the demand the gospel places on every man and woman on this planet, in heaven and under the earth. And the Bible teaches us that there's a day on the horizon when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And so this cannot be taken lightly. As we think about basic Christianity, as we think about building up the foundation in our lives, this cannot be taken lightly. Our response to the gospel is the most important thing in our lives. Why? Because we all have a purpose. And God wants you to walk in that purpose. And the question is, will you follow Jesus? Will you respond to him sacrificially? Will you make him a priority? And the last one is this: will you respond wholeheartedly? And will you be serious about it? No one held his hand to the plow more than Jesus Christ. He was focused on his mission. He was focused on the cross. He was committed. He denied himself for our sake. And as the word says, he became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Amen. I'm going to ask you to respond now. But I'm not going to ask you to respond here. I'm going to ask you to respond now, but not here. Now, as in this time in your life. I'm going to ask you to leave this place today. I'm going to ask you to pray this week. And I'm going to ask you to respond to Jesus by beginning to count the cost of what it might take to follow him. Spend some time with him this week and begin counting the cost. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, when you said to take up your cross and follow, Lord, you were serious. You were serious about that. People knew that a person who carried a cross was destined to die. And they needed a Savior. But you said that is what we must consider when we consider following you. We are all destined to die because we have to die to ourselves. And so help us, Lord, this week to seek your will, to respond to your word. Let us think it through completely. Let us think about our relationship with you. Let us think sacrificially. Let us think wholeheartedly. And let us make you the priority in our lives. In your mighty name, in your holy name, we pray. Amen.